You are listening to The Raelish Report. Here's your host, John Friend.
All right, folks. Welcome back to another edition of The Raelish Report. I'm your host, John Friend. Joining me today is Sinead McCarthy, a musician, singer, writer, mother, and host of Firestarter Radio on Renegade Broadcasting. She also contributes to the Renegade Tribune and operates the Shiksa Goddess YouTube channel. Sinead, welcome to the program. It's great to have you here today.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here. I really love everything that you've been doing recently, and I'm honored to be part of your podcast.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the compliments.
Of course.
And you have been on the program before. This was, well over a year ago, I believe, at this point. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people are already familiar with your work. You do a lot of radio programs and interviews, and you also write pretty frequently for the Renegade Tribune. But just to get started, could you, you know, just talk about how you kind of got involved with the independent media and, you know, really kind of focus on, I know I've heard you talk about how 9/11 was really kind of your wake-up call, as it was for me, so I'm very interested in that. So could you talk about, you know, how you got involved in the independent media and, you know, maybe what led you to start researching 9/11?
Sure. So basically growing up, I always just was kind of a jaded kid. I never trusted authority. I always thought that I was being lied to. I was very skeptical of just authority figures and what they were telling me. And I just knew that I was being lied to from a young age. So I never really believed in our current political system. I remember being in the fourth grade and learning about the Electoral College. And it was like a big red flag for me thinking, okay, well, why do we all vote if these people can basically represent us and override our decision? And so I was always just very skeptical of politics and government. But then it wasn't until I was living in New York City when a friend of mine, we were riding the bus and he's telling me about the Bilderberg Group. And I'm like, the Bilderberg Group? What are you talking about? I just thought he was crazy until we went back to his apartment and we were there with a bunch of friends and we were watching YouTube videos and he showed me, I think it was Alan Greenspan, talking about the Fed and basically how, you know, they are the almighty power that, you know, no one can tell them what to do. And I'm sitting here thinking, this guy's just telling everybody that and no one cares. You know, he basically says, we make the rules and we print the money. And I thought, okay, that's not cool. Plus this guy looks like a freaking demon. So
he looks like a straight up devil.
He really does. So I'm like, what's up with these weird looking people that are trying to control everything? And then he has he showed me 9/11 loose change, which obviously is a bit of a controlled opposition, in my opinion, because it never talks about Israel or some of the other no planes theories. And that's what I'm more leaning to now is that there were no planes because it's really a lot easier for them to do. And I think they were testing out this technology on the population to see if it worked, and it did. But yes, started looking into 9/11, saw that it was, at that time, I thought it was an inside job and I thought it stopped with Bush. But no, I learned later on that it went further. And so once I found out Israel was behind things like the bombing of the USS Liberty and then behind 9/11, I saw that, oh, wait a second. Okay, they're behind almost everything. They basically, you know, they print our money. And then I found out that they had been kicked out of all these countries for doing the same exact thing. And I started to just look at surnames and look at who is pushing all of this filth on us. And it all just fell into place. And then once I was aware of the Jewish question, as people like to call it, or just Jewish supremacy, then someone basically, it was actually Kyle Hunt who started, I was a listener of his program, and he started talking about the racial aspect of things and how, once again, these Jews were behind genocidal policies. And then, you know, once I found out that I am, you know, target number one, I had to do something. And so I just started, you know, producing, I did some radio shows, like the one I used to do with Hex, the one that you interviewed us about. And then I kind of took a break because I had my first child. And now I'm back on the grind and I'm back with a vengeance because now that I have a son, it's like I got to do everything in my power to make this world better for him or I've failed him and I can't do that.
Yes, I totally agree. Now, you know, it's interesting hearing you talk about 9/11 and how you sort of, you know, started connecting the dots and looking into events like the USS Liberty and other false flags and recognizing the Jewish role behind it.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember actually sitting in my room. It was at my old apartment, and you know, I was getting into 9/11. I had, you know, recently moved to San Diego, so I was in a new city. And I remember reading an article. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but it basically went through and documented all of the Jews in the Bush administration that were sort of, you know, connected to 9/11, all the Jews in the State Department, in the Pentagon, you know, the people who funded Bush, the people who surrounded him and kind of controlled mm-hmm. him. And I remember thinking just, I was just so really shocked and stunned. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, all these like stereotypes about Jews are totally true.
Yeah.
You know, and I was really just blown away because I remember it vividly, like connecting all the dots and realizing, oh my gosh, it's the Jews.
Yep. Yeah, I remember even I was living in New York City for 5 years, and it was like right in front of my face, and I didn't quite connect the dots. I even worked at a kosher restaurant, John, and I had an Israeli boss who I eventually quit because he was just verbally abusive and treated us like shiksas, you know.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, right. So I mean, and then towards the end of my time there, I was thinking, why every single, because I did a lot of bartending for concert venues and these kind of places, clubs and that sort of thing, and I'm like, why are they all owned by Jews? This is strange. You know, I literally was working for a dude named Shlomo. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
So yeah, that, you know, I started to think, and then, you know, every time I would sign a lease, I'm like, oh, these are all Jews that own all these properties. And actually, they were mostly Hasidic, and I would go to like shake their hand after I signed the lease, and they would say, I can't shake your hand, I can't look at you. I even stopped a Jewish man. I was in Brooklyn, and I wandered into like Jew land, which is like Crown Heights area, where everything, it's like you're in another country. Everything is in Hebrew. They have their own, you know, stores, their own school, their own police. They all dress the same. It's like you're transported back in time. And I got lost. So I stopped and I asked a Jewish man for directions. I said, hey, do you have a number for a cab company? Or can you tell me where the nearest subway is? I'm totally lost. And he refused to look at me in the eyes. He said, you know, I can't talk to you. But he did try and look a number up on his phone. But he was like, no one can see me talk to you or I'll be in big trouble. And
yeah. So good. You kind of had direct experience with these people in New York.
Oh, yeah, big time. Especially, you know, I was trying to break into the music industry there. And I was going out on a lot of auditions. And I was, you know, sitting down with production teams. And we were writing albums and recording things. And I really started to realize what was expected of me, and I ran in the other direction because I was basically asked to do some pretty depraved things, and it was just not like nonchalant. They're like, what do you expect? How do you expect to get famous? You're going to have to sleep with some people. I was like, nope,
wow.
Not happening. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it. You know, it's a pretty disgusting industry, it sounds like.
Right.
I mean, I've never been involved in it, but
it's awful. It's disgusting.
I'm curious, when you were growing up, did you have any like Jewish friends or Jewish classmates or anything that you had experience with?
Not that I know of. I think one of my friends might have been like part Jewish, because I remember her grandma and grandpa apparently survived the Holocaust. And I remember they would show us their tattoos.
Oh,
but,
God.
You know, now I'm like, oh, they survived a freaking, you know, concentration camp. Oh, so terrible.
Yeah.
So I think, but she was adopted, or her mother was adopted by them. So I don't know if she was like blood, you know, Jewish by DNA. She might have just been kind of like adopted into that family. But yes, I did know those people. But other than that, I didn't really have any, you know, Jewish friends. I grew up in a really white neighborhood, and we didn't really have any Jews.
Okay.
Like I like a half Jew friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your most of your experience with Jews comes directly from, you know, being in New York City, and then obviously researching Jewish supremacy and Jewish terrorism and,
yes,
you know, their connections to 9/11 and stuff. Okay. And then you say, so shortly after this, that's when you really started getting into a lot of the racial issues that you deal with now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because I started to see, somebody sent me a quote, and now some people say this quote is false, but it makes perfect sense. It was, I think it was like Israel Cohen or something saying that, we'll put into the consciousness of the black people that they've been oppressed by whites, and that will lead us into the new communist ideology or something along those lines. And I thought, okay, this is exactly what they're doing, because, you know, my whole life I've been blamed for everything. And now this whole white privilege thing was starting to come into the surface. And it really started to make sense. I'm like, this is exactly what they're doing. They're using these people as proxies. They're demonizing us through the media that they own. And they've demonized us our whole lives. You know, I've I started to think back to the lessons that we were given in school and college and just how anti-white everything was. And it just made sense.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, looking back on it now, certainly, you know, after coming to some of the same conclusions, you know, you have, looking back on my education, it's very clear that our historical narrative and the way history is presented in our schools and certainly in the media and in our entertainment complex, it's presented from a very anti-white perspective. Yeah. There's a very anti-white bias, you know, in our educational system. And it's just so now it's really just so obvious and in your face. I guess when you're growing up, it's maybe not as bad, or maybe it wasn't as bad when we were growing up. But now, I mean, it's just full-blown, you know, war on whites all day, every day.
Yes. Yep. Definitely. It was more subtle, I think, when we were in school, but now it's just blatant in your face. You know, they're like having these kids pray to Allah in school.
Right. Yeah.
It's insane.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you've been dealing with these subjects for quite some time now, and you recently put up an article over on the Renegade Tribune entitled Top 5 Ways for Women to Talk to Their Men About White Genocide.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you know, sort of mainstream, you know, normal people hear, you know, this idea that there's genocide taking place against the white race, they're kind of like shocked almost, like they've never heard that before. You know, it's sort of this far out idea. But when you stop and think about it and really analyze it, it's very clear what is taking place in America and in Europe and in Canada and Australia and pretty much every single formerly white country fits the textbook definition of genocide according to the UN. So could you maybe let's talk about this article. This is really interesting. I shared it on my Facebook page and tweeted it, and I thought it was interesting to hear from, you know, a female's perspective, you know, how women can talk to their men about white genocide, because usually most people think it's the opposite way, you know, men talking to women about white genocide. So could you maybe just sort of summarize this article for us?
Sure. Yeah, I'm trying to even remember what I wrote. I usually write them like first thing in the morning when I'm having coffee. So, pardon me if I blank on some of the points that I made. But
it's okay. I got it pulled up right here. I mean,
okay, good. Basically, what sparked me to write it is I was talking to a few different ladies, and one of them I actually interviewed on my podcast. Her name was Claire. If anyone wants to check out that interview, and she was actually responsible for waking up her husband, and you know, and I actually heard from a few other ladies that they were trying to, you know, talk to their husbands about these things and they weren't having much success. So I thought, hey, why don't I write an article? Because there may be a lot more women in this situation that don't, you know, have anyone trying to help out because they assume that those situations don't exist. And actually, I posted it and got a lot of good responses from the ladies, like, thank you, yes. And they were like tagging their husbands in it. And, you know, so it does go both ways. And I think that because we have this like disgusting radical feminism in our faces constantly, I think a lot of us, women included, assume that all women are like this, you know, all modern women, when really, I don't think that's the case. I think that there are a lot of just, you know, pretty normal women who see what's going on. And they may not speak on camera like me, or, you know, use their real name because, yeah, I get it. It's not, you know, it's not a fun position to be in all the time. But they're out there. Just because they're not putting their faces out there doesn't mean they don't exist. And many of them do. And they listen to podcasts like yours and mine and Renegade and Red Ice. And, mm-hmm. you know, they see what's going on. They just might not vocalize it. So kind of wanted to give them a little shout out, you know.
Sure,
hopefully
yeah.
Help them.
Yeah, and really quick, you list, you know, 5 different ways to go about this, to, you know, really, you know, talk about white genocide to your boyfriend, or, I mean, this would even work, you know, from the other way around, you know, from a guy trying to explain this to a girl, yeah. So you say, show him the rape statistics, and, I mean, it's pretty, oh my gosh, just outrageous, you know, the black-on-white rape that takes place every single year in the United States. I just wrote an article for American Free Press dealing with, gosh, it's such a horrific story, this pregnant white woman in Indianapolis.
Yes. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, these two young black thugs were breaking and entering and robbing homes in their neighborhood, and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. Oh. And this woman's husband left to go to the gym, and he left the door unlocked, and these two animals, you know, entered her home, raped her, beat the
Oh,
crap out
God.
of her, drove her to the ATM, took all her money, it took her back home, and then wound up, shooting her right in the head. And this is something that happens all
All the
the
time.
time.
Yep,
And
it
it's
really
so
does.
incredible that people don't know about this. People aren't aware of these statistics. The media systematically runs cover for these criminals,
Yes.
and then incites blacks when a white police officer justifiably shoots a black thug.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just so outrageous what's going on. And this is a good way to, communicate this information is show them statistics, show them rape statistics, show them, just crime statistics in general.
Yep. Oh yeah. I mean, they're not even debatable. It's like every 15 minutes or something. That's just reported that a white woman is raped by a black man. So yeah, I guess those statistics are racist.
And I mean, I think another thing that needs to be pointed out is that white women that date non-whites, especially blacks, I mean, it's very dangerous to even do that, to even really be around these people, like when you're by
Yes.
yourself.
Yeah.
I
Yep.
mean, it really is just not worth the risk.
Yeah, absolutely, it is. No, it's not at all because the odds are stacked against you. Yeah, it might not be that one person, but the odds are that it's going to happen. So don't even take the chance. I don't care. I'm sure there are nice black people around. I know a few. I don't obviously talk to them anymore, but there are people that I respect that are black and I don't hate them, but I'm not going to risk my life to be like progressive for something.
Yeah, so that's the first point you make. And then you go on to talk about, pointing out the hypocrisy and double standards with affirmative action, for example, and diversity quotas, and really how diversity is just a code word for less white people. And it's really incredible how, we always hear from the left that America is this white supremacist nation, that there's still, racism is still alive and well, there's institutionalized racism against black people. And yet here we have policies enforced by the United States federal government enforcing discrimination, systematic discrimination against whites.
Yeah, and also there's a quote from someone basically stating, and it's true, that civil rights do not apply to white men either.
I believe that
So.
was the head of this program, this like diversity program. I can't remember exactly who said it, but yeah, and there's many other quotes to that effect that we could cite and point to. But yeah, I think that is really a big one that I try to use with people is, just pointing out the double standards. Look at all of these Jewish groups, look at all of these black groups, Mexican groups, feminist groups, homosexual groups.
Everything. You even have NAMBLA. You have pedophile groups.
And
But
heaven
oh.
forbid a
Right.
bunch of white people form some sort of group.
Right, exactly. They
It's
freak
just
out about it. If we were living in such a white supremacist country, there would be no frickin' non-whites here. They wouldn't even be allowed here. So, no, we're clearly not living in a white supremacist. We're living in a Jewish supremacist country, a Jewish occupied country, and that's why it's such a shithole. Sorry, I'm swearing.
No, it's
I'm
all
just
right.
getting so angry talking about this stuff.
Well, I mean, it really is outrageous what's going on, and it's totally unacceptable,
Right.
and we got to do something about it, and
Yeah.
that's what we're doing.
Yep.
Now, the third one you talk about, discussing and really showing people the accomplishments of our ancestors,
Yes.
and you mentioned the book March of the Titans, which is sold by the Barnes Review, by the way, guys, and that's a great book. It talks about the history of the white race, all of the accomplishments, and all of the technology we've developed, the civilizations we've built. You say here specifically in your article, we are the greatest inventors and the creators of civilization, and I think
Yes.
that's absolutely correct. That's an objective, honest analysis of the history of the white race. That's not white
Right.
supremacy or anything like that. That's just
Right.
the facts.
And even if white people thought they were better than any other race, I don't think there's a problem with that. I think that every race should think that they're the best and we should all compete to be the best. There's nothing wrong with competition and feeling superior. I don't know why it's like such a scary thing, white supremacy. You have black supremacy, you have Jewish supremacy. So it's like, who cares? Get over it.
I mean, yeah, I hear you. I
Yeah, I
agree.
know.
Now, this the let's see, the fourth one here. It's actually number two on your list, but show them films like The Greatest Story Never Told and Hellstorm,
Yeah.
and really sort of get the information about World War II, and this is something that I really have tried to focus on my website and on the radio shows that I do, is really focusing on revisionism and the true story of World War II, because really the false narrative of World War II, specifically as it relates to the Holocaust story, really forms our paradigm for how we see the world today.
Oh, it absolutely does. And that's why I get so frustrated with people saying that, oh, we shouldn't talk about the Holocaust because, oh, it'll make us look bad, or we shouldn't talk about 9/11 because it's not important. That, yes, it's very important, because if you are just going to see this as like evil Muslims coming here, that, the Jews have nothing to do with this, then you're not getting a full picture of the enemy. And you can't fight a war when you have no idea who your enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think it's very important.
Yeah. And, that was actually another topic I wanted to bring up. Because in my opinion, I wouldn't say there's a consensus that's been formed. There should be a consensus that's formed on some of these issues, like 9/11,
yes,
like the role of the Jews and, Jewish supremacy in America in the Western world, and also, this fake Jewish Holocaust story. In my view, all of these subjects have been scholarly established. I mean, the truth about 9/11 has been exposed, and we know for certain that it was Israel and this international network of Jewish criminals that were behind 9/11. This has been proven.
Mm-hmm.
The fake Holocaust narrative has been exposed and debunked, 10 times over. It's really been scientifically established at this point that what these Jews are saying and what the Allied governments said happened during World War II is just not true. It's not true. The gas chamber story, 6 million Jews murdered, none of that is true. And we've proven it. So, in my view, there should be a consensus, certainly in, the circles that we're in on these subjects. And it seems that there's not, unfortunately.
Well, what makes me suspicious, John. And I know I'm probably paranoid, but honestly, if you're looking into these subjects and you still think it was Muslims with box cutters that did 9/11 or that the Holocaust really happened, then I honestly question your integrity, because you're either burying your head in the sand or you're a shill.
Well, right. And I understand that some people haven't really looked into these issues,
right.
Or they're not, they're not that interested in them. What concerns me is when people are attacking people like me or you for doing research into these subjects, for talking about these subjects and other subjects for that matter, which we'll get to.
Yes, I agree. That's what makes me suspicious. I should have been more clear. That's definitely what makes me suspicious, when people are attacking people for even looking into these things or talking about them. It's very, very strange to me that one would do that.
Yeah. And, I've gotten this with countless issues. Whether it's Christian identity or the no plane theory, which I think is really a childish way of looking at the information I'm presenting on 9/11, on this aspect of 9/11, but also other subjects, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, and the idea of, well, really the reality of media fakery. So it's really kind of, I don't know, I guess suspicious is a good way of putting it. I just don't understand it, because to me it's frankly just counterproductive and intellectually dishonest and childish. It's very childish.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. Like you said, I can understand if someone hasn't looked into these things yet and they don't understand it, but then to try and shut down any kind of discussion is very strange. Don't you want to go after the truth? Why are you so concerned with what the enemy thinks?
Now, what do you think? Why is there not a consensus being formed on these issues, even though we've, really established all of these points that we mentioned? The 9/11 issue, the fact that the Jews really control America are behind the agenda of white genocide in the West, and then also, the World War II revisionism issues. Why do you think there isn't a consensus that's been formed at this point?
I'm sure that there's an aspect of controlled opposition in there. I think there's also, there's been this narrative set up that Muslims are basically like behind everything. And while I understand that Muslims commit a lot of crimes in our lands and they should not be here at all, I think that they're set up to be the fall guy a lot of the times. That's why they, these fake terror events. And yes, there are real terror events that happen, you know, like these women being raped on the street and people being murdered. That's terror. But no, they'll set up these like fake kosher movie scene operations, and then they'll, you know, say, oh, it's the evil Muslims. And so it basically fits the narrative. You know, 9/11 sounds like it could be legit for someone that's not aware of just how deep the Jewish control goes. They would think, oh, well, there's Muslims invading our lands. Of course they would attack us. They hate us. So it kind of fits the narrative loosely a lot of the times, and I think people just roll with it because they're like, yeah, well, this justifies why Muslims shouldn't be here. But then they're not looking at the person, you know, the race, the Jews that are pulling the strings.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, not only that, they're not even really critically examining what the Jewish media is telling them.
That's what's so scary to me, John, because people will say, okay, I'm aware that the media is owned by six Jewish corporations. I'm aware that they are pushing anti-white lies, that they are programming all of us, but I'm going to believe every little thing that they tell me that comes out of that idiot box, you know, when it comes to terror events. And
right,
people get more frustrated with me than they do at the people lying to them. They're like, everything's a hoax. You're going to tell me that this isn't fake and that I shouldn't believe the Jewish TV. Yes, I'm going to tell you that. I mean, you're just going to just take it and say, oh, swallow it and say, yep, that's right. They're telling me the truth. I'm not going to look into it, you know, at all. I'll just take their word for it because it kind of fits my narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. And gosh, it's funny that we're talking about this because I knew this was going to come up during this conversation. But, you know, I get this on Facebook quite a bit. I get it in comments on my website where, you know, it's really this truly intellectually dishonest way of critiquing what I'm saying about events like 9/11 and Sandy Hook and this recent San Bernardino shooting, for example, and many other events. I'm not saying that everything is a hoax. And
right,
this is what you get. You get this very dishonest way of people critiquing you. They're saying,
yes,
well, you're saying everything's a hoax and, you know, Muslims are good and we need Muslims here. And I'm like, dude, no, I'm not saying that at all. You're not even reading what I'm writing or hearing what I'm stating here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, look, guys, if you and I just explained this yesterday in a comment on my website. I view myself, my role in this whole movement, primarily as a journalist and a conveyor of information.
Yes.
And in order to be a good journalist, you have to critically investigate what the media and what the government is saying.
Absolutely, and because there is no journalism going on anymore.
Right. But the thing is when you actually do that and critically investigate 9/11 or Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing or the San Bernardino shooting, this alleged shooting, the official narrative falls apart in a matter of seconds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I always just assume it's bullshit until proven otherwise. I mean, that seems more logical to me. You should just assume everything coming out of there is a lie until you prove that it's not.
Right. I mean, yeah, really, that is probably the best way to go about it. Because,
yeah.
And I mean, we have... There's such a long history of these Jews doing this and deceiving us,
yes,
using the media and staging events and manufacturing false narratives of history, like the Holocaust story, for example.
Yes.
You know, these people are professionals at doing this, and yet, you know, a lot of people in the, you know, in the sort of pro-white independent media do recognize that the Holocaust is totally fake, and they do recognize that the Jews were behind 9/11. But, you know, it's like they're not applying that same understanding to what's currently going on with some of these alleged terrorist attacks and mass shootings.
Yeah, that's
it's really
kind
of baffling.
Yeah, I totally agree with you because they can see that they could pull off something so big as the Holocaust that to this day people still believe. But then they don't think that they could pull off 9/11 or like the San Bernardino thing. I mean,
right,
come on, that's like so easy for them.
Exactly, yeah. Well, and again, it's not even necessarily that I'm not expecting anyone to just blindly accept what I'm saying.
Right.
What I have a problem with is when people go out of their way to attack me or criticize me for doing this sort of work. It's
yes,
like, you know,
yeah, I agree.
You know, it's always, well, you're going to make us look crazy. Bro, I have my own image and reputation to worry about. Don't you worry about mine. You know, I got this under control. If you're so
yeah,
concerned about what I'm saying and doing and writing about, disassociate with me. I'm not going to
yep,
be offended.
Exactly. I've said the same thing. And, you know, I've noticed now I do appreciate, you know, people that are legit, you know, they have legit concerns and they're doing it out of love. I get it. But most of the time, people that are telling me what I should and should not talk about are people that don't even show their face. They hide behind an avatar. They do jack shit. They do absolutely nothing for the movement, for their people. And then they're going to tell me that I'm going to make them look bad.
Yeah.
So, like you said, then don't associate with me and we'll both be happy.
Mm-hmm. Now, this kind of leads into my next question. I've heard you talk about and sort of critique the alt-right, which is really, I don't know, kind of a vague term, I guess. It's really like, I guess, racial, like pro-white racial realists, people that follow the rightstuff.biz, for example, and Richard Spencer and the National Policy Institute. And I believe Richard Spencer actually sort of coined that phrase, the alt-right. I could be wrong about that,
Yeah, I
but
was wondering where it came from. It kind of just popped up.
And I could be wrong about that. I mean, obviously he's very much, involved in the whole alt-right movement or whatever. And I don't really necessarily consider myself alt-right. I kind of don't really like those terms, I guess. I mean, I do listen to the right stuff and, follow what Spencer does, and I think that, a lot of these guys are doing really good work. I think,
I agree.
the rightstuff.biz has some of the best podcasts or radio programs out there. They're funny and they're insightful and it's just really high quality stuff. But I don't really fall into that alt-right category for a variety of reasons. And I know you've been pretty critical of the alt-right. Could you maybe, elaborate on that, briefly here?
Yeah, pretty much I just wanted to distance myself from this term because everyone kept calling me it and basically telling me I have to follow these rules, and I wanted nothing to do with that. And then it just seemed that everyone who was attacking me for, talking about the flat earth, for talking about things being hoaxes, they were all from the alt-right, and they all said, "You're going to make us look bad." So I said, "Then don't call me alt-right because I don't want to be alt-right. And also, I'm going to call you guys out for your dishonesty when you're shilling for the official 9/11 story and saying that you're pro-white." I just really have some major suspicions about that personally. But like you said, I'm not going to go attack these guys and like waste my time trying to just expose them or whatever, because I think a lot of what they're doing is great. And I don't really know who decides, what the consensus is for the alt-right, but I think they should reevaluate events like 9/11 and some of these fake shootings, because you're going to be coming off as pretty, you're going to discredit yourself if you keep, going with these lies. So that's what I would say. But as far as spending all my time trying to expose these people, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to do my own thing. I wanted to distance myself from this. I never fit in with that crowd ever. I felt really out of place, and I could never put my finger on why. I was like, all the girls hate me. They can't stand me. All the guys think I'm retarded. So I just never quite fit in. And I guess it was for the best because I don't belong in the alt-right at all.
Okay,
Not
yeah,
me.
and that's fine. I mean, I think what you're doing is, stands up for itself,
Thanks. That's what I want to do. I don't really want to be part of a group that I have to follow their rules or they can tell me what I can and cannot do. I just want to kind of be my own independent media person, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that is exactly what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. That's what, many
Yeah,
other
just
people are
make it
doing.
works. It works better for me and you, I think.
Yeah, and this is again something that I've been dealing with for gosh years now. Where people are going out of their way to, do entire radio programs about me and about people I'm interviewing, and I'm like, don't you guys have anything better to talk about? Like, what's the deal here? I'm not going out of my way to attack you guys for not accepting what I'm saying about 9/11. It's just, it never made any sense. And obviously this is something that's come up with Andrew Anglin in the past, Mike Delaney, and many other people. And it's not really an issue anymore, at least like it used to be. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just really counterproductive, and really just kind of silly that we'd even be engaged in this type of behavior.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do think it's important to call out dishonest reporting or behavior. I think that's important. But as far as making an hour-long video on exposing John Friend, it's just take that energy and do something productive instead of trying to, destroy people that are trying to do something.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I welcome criticism and feedback. I mean, if I get something wrong, I want to know, 'cause
Same, yeah.
I don't want to be out there saying something that's incorrect, or saying something that I can't back up totally. And the problem is, though, is I never really received any of that feedback or criticism. It was always just these
Facts.
either attacks or these extremely intellectually dishonest ways of framing what I'm saying and,
yeah.
you know, critiquing what I'm saying about different issues, especially relating to 9/11. And you know, it was just truly amazing. And I don't know what explains it. I'm not trying to accuse anybody of anything, but I just found it very bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's something that I still feel strongly about. Like, I don't want anything to do with these guys that, you know, were engaged in this type of behavior. It's just totally dishonest and childish. And I mean, the fact that none of these guys really ever owned up to it, even though I clearly, you know, made it very clear what was going on and my concerns and problems with the type of behavior that they were engaged in.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. I mean, I'm not here to bring all this up again, but it's just interesting. And, you know, we've both sort of experienced this over the past couple years.
Yes. Yep, definitely. And again, if they could take all that energy that they put into trolling us or whatever, writing these articles, then and put it towards something good, then, you know, we'd be making a lot more progress.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've also been pretty critical of the manosphere, sort of the pro.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
I guess, you know, for lack of a better term. I never really got into the whole manosphere until relatively recently. A friend of mine turned me onto a website called Chateau Hartiste, I think is how you say it.
Oh, God. I browsed through that briefly, and I was, like, about to throw up, so.
Yeah, well, he turned me onto it over a year ago, maybe even closer to 2 years now. And, you know, I do follow it. I think that there are some very good articles that go up there. Some, you know, aren't so good. Generally speaking, the way, you know, kind of sexual degeneracy and promiscuity is promoted, I don't go along with that. I think that's very destructive and frankly Jewish.
Yep.
But I think a lot of the information that's covered and the perspectives presented on a website like that are totally valid and worth reading, especially for guys. But what's your take on this? Because I know you've been critical of the manosphere generally.
Well, they're no better than feminists. I don't know why they think that they're like special snowflakes and like that they can be meninists or whatever, but then a woman being a feminist is bad. It's like, you're doing exactly what you can't stand. So just let's be healthy in the middle instead of swinging to these two extremes. And
right.
I think that obviously the whole MGTOW thing is like a response, a controlled response, mind you, to feminism and to the destruction of the feminine. But they're obviously not going to get anywhere by going their own way and being freaking gay. you know, if they truly are strong males, they would lead women instead of go their own way. So it should be men lead the way instead of men go their own way.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
So, yeah, I noticed, and not all of them are like this either, but I had to call out the growing like anti-white woman sentiment. You even have Anglin saying that white women are the number one enemy over the Jews. And I'm sorry, seriously, you know, we're facing extermination. You know, white women are being raped all over the place. And I'm going to have, well, I don't even think Anglin's white, but that's besides the point. I'm going to have a supposed white man tell everybody, tell our men that we are the enemy, that it's our fault that we're being raped all over the place, that it's our fault that we are you know, turning into monsters. You know, we're all of our people are turning into monsters. And I do think people should take accountability, but at the same time, they are being poisoned with a mind virus, and they're under heavy mind control. So instead of trying to help your women back to health, many of them just say, screw all of you, because all of you are just feminists. And if anybody tries to stand up for themselves, they're a feminist. So again, it's just the two extremes. There's a lot of just like hatred towards women, because I think a lot of these men can't find a woman, which I understand the dating pool, it's really slim right now and it sucks. But, you know, instead of taking that energy and being proactive and saying, I'm going to better myself, I'm going to do whatever it takes to find a good woman, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to take no for an answer. And I don't mean that in like forcing sex or anything, but I mean, you know, I'm not going to just say, oh, all women are terrible, I'm never going to try again. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it's good to take breaks and, you know, take care of yourself and heal your wounds if you've come out of a bad relationship, but you know, blaming the whole sex is just no better than feminism, so it just drives me nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that sort of mindset, I guess the MGTOW mindset, is very extreme. I mean,
it is, and it's very Jewish, because they say that women have no, they can't have logical thought, that we are responsible for the fall of every civilization, that basically all we're needed for is reproduction, and we won't even be needed for that anymore. It's like, it's just insane. It's dehumanizing, yeah. And it's Abrahamic, it's anti-woman, it's Jewish, it's Islamic, it's everything that's not white.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of England, I actually think that he has written some very interesting things about feminism and, you know, the liberation of women in general. Mm-hmm. Things that are, you know, make sense and that, you know, I can kind of go along with. But I guess it's really the sort of extreme where, you know, we need to just ignore girls and, you know, we can't even deal with them anymore. They're so far gone. They're so far.
That sounds so gay.
I mean, it does. Yeah, it's I mean, I certainly don't go along with that. But I think a lot of the critiques that the manosphere makes about feminism and about, you know, sort of, you know, women, mainstream women in America and in the West, I think that there is a lot of truth to a lot of what,
of course,
you know, what they're saying.
Is. Of course there is, but yeah. to throw us under the bus and say that it's all of us and that we're all damaged goods is just counterproductive and so stupid, and it's like shooting your sisters in the back, you know, stabbing them in the back. They've done nothing to you, and there's many of us like myself who are putting our necks on the line for you guys, and, you know, you just consider me a feminist and blah, 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 but, yeah, it's just, it's really... I don't know. It's weird. You know, even Anglin was saying that we need to be more, that white men need to be more like black men, and we need to like embrace their misogyny and their like, you know, hoes and bitches kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
That's kind of what you get from the manosphere, from websites like Return of Kings and even that Hartiste website to a certain extent. But, you know, one thing, I mean, I don't really feel, and I mean, this is an issue that I haven't really written about it. I've talked about it a little bit, but I mean, just in general, it's an issue that, you know, I'm not a woman, so I don't really feel that I'm qualified, or, you know, I just don't feel like I should really be commenting on these issues because I'm not a woman, and I'm more concerned with, you know, sort of setting a good example for young white men.
Yes, we need that. We definitely do.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, some of these people that go on and on about feminism and females, it's like, well, you know, you're not even a woman, man. Like, I don't know. It's an interesting topic, and I'm still kind of learning about it and reading about it, and I do find it interesting, but your critiques, I think, are pretty much spot on. I mean, this extreme that some of these guys in the manosphere go to is just irrational and wrong. I mean, it's just, I don't think it's really defensible, you know, from an intellectual perspective. So,
but to me, I can see right through all of their anger. They're hurt. They have their feelings. They've been very hurt. And now I don't think this justifies their behavior, but they've either been in a really bad relationship where they don't have custody of their kids and their wife has totally screwed them out of like thousands of dollars, and I get that. There's a lot of terrible women, but there's a lot of terrible men too. And, you know, I myself have been treated horribly by men in the past, and I never for one minute wanted to go my own way. I always knew there'd be someone that I would find, and I did. So to just give up on the whole thing is just, that's exactly what they want you to do. You know, that I can just see the Jew there rubbing his hands like, oh, good goyim, don't have white children. Go be gay. You know, like that's what I see the whole time. I think this is, it's completely set up and controlled because they knew that there would be a backlash to feminism. And then they always problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem. They're going to present, you know, they're going to control the reaction, and then they'll present their kosher solution, which is MGTOW. Mm-hmm. And it's just not productive. We need to come together, and we need to bring each other back into balance and back into health. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, this is this issue, this you know, sort of the division between white men and women has been really a very powerful weapon.
Yes,
that the Jews have used, to really exploit and dominate our race. And we see this with feminism. I think you make a pretty good case that we see this with this MGTOW movement as well.
Yeah, can I just say something real? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Before we move on to the next topic, because this is something that I just kind of had an epiphany the other day, and it was when I was listening to Lana and Jamie's show. I think that this whole, especially the ever-growing pro-Islam sentiment within the white people and pro-whites, is really concerning to me and to women, because, you know, I've been talking to girls who had their pro-white friends, male friends, who have now gone they've converted to Islam and they're trying to find a Muslim wife because she's more submissive and, oh, they're not as degenerate. But again, this is controlled. This is a controlled reaction. They're going to hypersexualize all the children, just to completely degrade our society. And then they're going to present us with Islam and say, oh, look, check this out. We have all these mosques built here. How convenient is that? And oh, look, there's already a ton of Muslims wearing burqas around. So you'll just totally blend in. You're going to be really happy. You're not going to be degenerate anymore. And you're going to embrace Allah. So I think that's exactly what's happening. White women are freaked out, as they rightly should be, because their own men are converting to Islam and basically throwing them under the bus, saying, you deserve to be raped. So that is scary to me and to many other women who are very concerned and are writing to me saying, are you kidding me? Now we have our own men that are the enemies now? Mm-hmm. So that's very scary to me. And I think this is completely controlled and it's been set up this way.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think you're probably right. Yeah. You know, and this was, I mean, this is a related topic, but I wanted to get into really the, I mean, we've talked about the weaponization of history and, you know, how our history is taught from a very anti-white perspective. You know, we're blamed for everything from slavery to the genocide of the Indians to the Holocaust and you name it. You know, we're the history's oppressor. We just go around oppressing people and that's how we, you know, have been so successful. Yeah. None of it is through our own doing and our own hard work. It's just oppression. But another thing that's been weaponized, certainly in a modern context, is the mass media. And, you know, really popular culture is a weaponized tool that the Jews use to program us and to degrade our society and to pervert our society. And you just posted an article over on the Tribune the other day dealing with this new Miley Cyrus music video.
Ugh, yeah.
And I mean, it is just so disgusting what passes for quote unquote entertainment and music these days and just how in your face this degeneracy is. And it's so destructive. It really is soul crushing. It poisons your mind. It poisons your soul. And this is what these Jews are expecting our children to be, you know, socialized on.
Yes. Yep. That, well, they're trying to sexualize infants now to basically, you know, they'll have a buffet of children they can abuse all over the world. How perfect with you if you're an actual psychopath and you think this way, this is just genius. I mean, we literally have psychopaths and pedophiles in control of mass media and government. So they're going to use these mediums to sexualize children, to get people brainwashed into thinking that this is okay, and they're going to have their pick of whatever child they want to abuse that day. So yeah, it's a pedophile's paradise.
I mean, it really is, and there's countless examples of pedophiles or pedophilia going on in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's sort of like this open secret, yeah. Well, one thing that I was really thinking about the other day is, you know, how pop culture really is weaponized against everyone. I mean, I think specifically the white race, because I think this all boils down to white genocide. What the Jews are up to is directed against our race specifically. But, I mean, generally speaking, I think that mainstream, you know, Jewish popular culture is weaponized against everyone.
Oh, yeah. Children,
adults, girls, boys, men and women, gays, straights, blacks, whites, Mexicans, Asians. Literally everyone is being impacted by this degenerate, you know, totally subversive propaganda that's everywhere, you know. Yeah. You get it in television, obviously, in these sitcoms and the promotion of homosexuality and just sexual degeneracy. Even on the radio, I'm like driving in my car and all of a sudden, the radio hosts come on and they're talking about Viagra and they're talking about sex and threesomes. And I'm like, this is at noon. I'm like, what is going on?
Social engineering.
Yeah. And it really is being used against everyone, and that needs to be understood. People need to understand that this is not normal.
No.
You know what is going on? There's absolutely an agenda behind it.
Absolutely. They don't call it TV programming for nothing. And even if you break down the word entertainment, I believe to entertain is to encircle, and meant you have the mind. So basically it's mind control.
Right. Well, and I mean, it really is. It's social engineering. Most people get their their perspectives and their worldview, really, from the Jewish media, from Jewish popular culture in Hollywood.
Yep, absolutely. That's why we should not believe everything that they tell us on that screen. I mean, I don't even own it. I think I have I have a TV that you can plug the computer into, but I don't have like cable. We don't watch the news. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean I'm out of the loop. I can go on freaking Drudge Report and see what BS they're spewing today. You know, you don't need a TV to like keep up with the lies. But I really think that just even having it in your home and having it on, it's like you're exposing yourself to hypnosis.
I mean, yeah, you're right. And, you know, I do have a television as well, and I just use it, you know, to watch YouTube videos and DVDs and stuff. But yeah, and I mean, because I haven't had cable for, gosh, it's been over 3 years. And even when I did have cable, I was living with someone else and, you know, I wasn't even really watching it anyways.
Right.
But, you know, now I go out and say I'm at a bar or something or at a restaurant or at a friend's house and the TV's on. I'm like, it's so distracting. I can't focus.
I know.
Because I'm not used to it.
I can't even look at this new HD stuff. Like, it gives me a headache.
Yeah.
It's just too bright and too pixelated and it's just weird. It doesn't even look real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, again, they're getting more sophisticated with their programming abilities. You know, another thing I was thinking is this just, you know, this hypersexualization of our culture, the promotion of promiscuity and sex and just excessive hedonism to where, you know, mm-hmm. nothing else matters except for your personal pleasure and your personal satisfaction. This is really the total opposite of the Aryan or Christian spirit.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is like absolutely. The total opposite. It's the, I mean, it's the embodiment of, you know, the Jewish materialist spirit.
Yes.
But, you know, and this is what's so sad is people, you know, even a generation ago recognized this. They recognized that this was wrong. It was wrong to go out and, you know, in the span of a week, sleep with 10 women.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, now it's like encouraged. Now it's like, good job, dude. Only 10? What? Not 20?
Yeah, and you know, this is something that has always turned me off. Like, I've never really been that way, and I've always been like, I just recognize it as wrong.
Right.
You know, and totally
that's morals.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it's totally unfulfilling.
It is.
It's very destructive, I think, and I think it's a big reason why we have so many issues, male-female issues, why we have so many divorces, so many
And
just
I also,
social problems in general.
Absolutely. I also attribute that to pornography. Again, thank you, Jews.
Right. Yeah. I know you've covered this issue as well. And it's kind of astonishing. I mean, when we say that the Jews are behind everything, I mean, it's almost like literally they are behind everything.
It's
I know people have a hard time with it, but I mean, guys, all
it
you
never
gotta
ceases
do...
to surprise me, like it amaze me. Even just this Miley Cyrus thing, I'm like, I bet there's Jews behind this, and
her agent is Jewish. Her main publicist and agent is a Jew. Yeah,
and the guy who produced the song, Jew. The woman who made the music video, a Jewess, and you know, it's just like. It's just so obvious now.
Right. And I mean, the Jews openly admit they're behind, you know, homosexual rights and gay marriage.
Immigration reform.
I mean, you name it. They're openly admitting and bragging about how they're behind the promotion of transgenderism now.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, actually,
how that's socialized.
Yeah, the Talmud actually has about 6 genders. So this is all Talmudic.
Yeah, I posted I follow this website called Jew Universe.
Yes, that's where I saw this image actually.
Yeah. I took a screenshot of it, and I know I put it on Twitter, and I think I put it on Facebook too. Because that was literally the headline of this article: the 6 genders of the Talmud. Yeah. And you know, there's other articles. For example, the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing.
Oh God.
When you know Bruce Jenner magically became Caitlyn, and it was this huge media story, and ESPN is covering it. For gosh, you know, I mean.
Oh.
What is ESPN doing, you know, involved in?
I guess sport now to get your dick chopped off. I know.
It's ridiculous. And I mean, obviously, Bruce Jenner was, you know, a big time athlete back in
the
day. But,
right. Think about what a mind screw that was on the male population. They have like this guy that they look up to as being a man, an athlete, and then he turns into a woman.
Right. And the people behind the promotion of that, you know, the what magazine was it that it came out? Was it Vanity
Vanity
Fair?
Fair? Yeah.
Yeah, the photographer for, you know, for that article and for that photo shoot was a Jewish woman.
Oh, shocker.
Right, yeah, go figure. The author of that article, I believe, was Jewish. So, I mean, the Jews were behind the whole promotion of Caitlyn Jenner and, you know, this transition. And then we saw with that gay black man who played for the University of Missouri. He was a football player. He was just a, I mean, he was a pretty solid college football player, and he ended up getting drafted into the NFL, and he just, you know, he didn't make it. But they were covering this gay football player and showing video of him making out with his quote
Oh,
unquote husband and or his boyfriend or
damn.
whatever. Yeah, this is ESPN doing this.
Oh,
As
God.
if, you
Well,
know, ESPN has any business promoting this.
oh, well,
You
if they're
know,
owned by
there's
Jews, they do.
and they most certainly are owned by Jews, and a lot of the
Of
anchors
course.
on ESPN and on SportsCenter are themselves Jewish.
Oh,
So, I
yeah.
mean, it's just so obvious that there's an agenda behind all of this
There is.
degeneracy, this homosexuality, transgenderism, you name it. And of course, the Jews openly admit to being behind it.
That's the thing. It's like you don't even have to do much digging. Just go read Israel, the Times of Israel. Go read Haaretz. Go read their publications, and they'll tell you exactly what they're doing. You don't have to like go to the library and search through books all day. Like just go to their publications, and they'll tell you, we're behind this. Yes, Jews do run the media. Yes, we hate Christians. Yes, we're trying to abolish Christianity. Yes, we hate the right white race. Yes, Israel want we want Israel to be Jewish and only Jewish. It's like they tell you. So you don't have to really do much research.
I mean,
That
yeah,
will.
that's basically what I try to do on my website is just document all this
Yeah.
from Jews themselves. And it's like, look, guys, you know, this is not me saying this. This is,
Right, exactly.
excuse me, this is them saying this.
Yep, I even get people saying, you know, oh, Jews aren't a race. What are you talking about? But then I'll show quotes from Jews saying that we are a race, you know, we're not a religion. So it's like, okay,
Right.
well, then take it up with them because clearly, you know, they're misinformed, I guess.
Exactly. Now, I wanted to move on and sort of transition into your YouTube channel, Shiksa Goddess. Now, and by the way, you have Shiksa Goddess and then you also have Firestarter Radio, so you have two separate YouTube
Yeah.
channels.
But I yeah, I
Okay.
changed it to Firestarter Media because I've been doing like videos as well, so.
Oh, okay. Firestarter. Yeah, okay. I know I subscribed to both of them.
Oh, thanks.
And yeah, and Shiksa Goddess is, and it took me a while to connect the dots and figure out that you were actually behind this. And when I found out, I was like, oh my gosh, duh, of course. But yeah, can you just kind of, you know, for people that maybe aren't familiar with your YouTube channel, could you just explain what you're trying to do, or what you are doing on this channel?
Sure. So the Shiksa Goddess one was just kind of, I never thought it would like, you know, turn into this big thing that I just had so much fun with. And I love doing the parodies. It's so fun. But I heard this Bad Blood song playing everywhere, that Taylor Swift song. And I just thought in my head, you know, oh my God, how funny would it be if I switched it to Mud Blood and, you know, and just rewrote the lyrics. So one day I said, all right, I'm going to just do this. It's whatever. It's going to be fun. And so I downloaded the karaoke track and I had my microphone at the time before it was broken. And I just laid it down and I had never made a video before really. I had made like PowerPoint presentations. So I said, all right, let me try and make a video in an iMovie. And obviously I've gotten a little bit better as the time went on, but I found it to be really easy and fun. And then when I put it up, people, you know, were thinking this is hilarious. And then a girl that I had been talking to for several years, a Renegade listener, she said, you know what? I've been wanting to write these parodies. And she's like, I tried to sing it, but it didn't work. So can I write them for you? And I said, absolutely. So she's written a bunch of them for me as well. And then it just continued to go have all these random ideas that'll pop into my head. Like, for example, I've written two this week. I did, there's that stupid song by Lady Gaga called Applause. And it's like, I live for the applause, applause, applause. So I changed it to, it was the Mossad, Mossad, Mossad. It was the Mossad job. And so basically, I'm going to talk about the USS Liberty and 9/11. And, you know, I think it's just a good way to get these infectious, like, hooks. You know, the choruses, they call them hooks for a reason because they hook in and they stick in your head. But this is a great way to get our message stuck in people's heads. And actually, people have been telling me that they've woken up people like that have no idea about Jewish power through the parodies because their defenses are lowered. They're not, you know, being told, you're wrong, open your eyes. They're just laughing. So it's really, that's awesome to hear.
Yeah, exactly. It is a very good way to communicate some of this information to people. It sort of disarms them, and
Yeah.
yeah, it's not as serious, I guess. Although, you know, you are dealing with serious subjects, it's not as serious. And guys, if you have not seen the Shiksa Goddess YouTube channel, go over and watch like every one of these videos because they're really good. And gosh, what was it? I was at my niece's birthday party, and we were at a bowling alley. And one of the songs came on that you do a parody. Which one? I can't remember which one it was. It might have been that. Oh gosh, I can't remember what it was. But the song came on, and I'm like singing your lyrics, not the
That's
actual lyrics of the song.
great.
Yeah, it was funny. So, but yeah, it's. I think it is a, you know, an effective way to get this information out, and it's fun, and it really. Could you imagine, you know, some of these Jews watching some of these videos? Like they'd
Oh,
be.
I know they have. There's this one Jew that's been commenting on the Gas No Jews song, and he's just like, "Oh, you evil Nazis, blah blah blah." And everyone's like, "Shut up, get out of here."
Yeah.
So it's just really great. I'm surprised that that one hasn't been taken down. They've blocked a few in a few different countries, and they actually removed the Third World one.
Oh, yeah.
So I just re-uploaded it and changed the spelling, and it's been good so far. But yeah, like some of them have been banned in a few different countries, but so far so good. And I mean, obviously, I don't have like a huge following. There's only like 3,000 or so subscribers. So if it were to get big, I'm sure they would take it down. But
Well, I'm looking at your all of the videos you've uploaded, and pretty much all of them have at least 5,000 views. Some of them have 30 and 40,000 views, it looks like.
yeah.
So yeah, I mean you're getting a lot of attention, which is awesome. Your one parody of the Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus, Wailing Wall. Oh man, that one is good. Although
Thank you.
to be honest, some of the things that you say I kind of disagree with, but it's good. I mean,
Yeah.
it's oh, you know, and that relates to Christianity. And is that
Yeah.
the yeah, and but you know,
Yahweh
whatever.
part.
Is that the one? I know there's a couple other ones. It might have been this Wailing Wall song where you kind of take a shot at Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And you know, I wanted to talk about Trump actually. Well, I guess really quick before we move on, the Shiksa Goddess YouTube channel, is that just you producing this content, or are you working with other people, or what's
Like I said, the woman who we call her Barbara Finkelsteinberg, she writes some of the songs, and you can see in the description which ones she has written. Also, Meraki wrote a few as well.
Okay.
But the rest, like I do the videos and I do the singing and the and the writing of the other songs. So it's
Okay,
pretty
so.
much just me, but
Right.
then I have help with the writing.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. I kind of thought
Yeah.
that's how it was, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like there is more than one person singing usually because I use a technique called like dubbing or doubling. So you record one line and then you record like one or two on top of that to give it a thicker sound, and I'll add harmonies and stuff like that sometimes. So it
Okay.
does sometimes give the illusion that there are like five people singing, but it's just me in my
I see.
closet.
Yeah, well, it's very good. You definitely got a knack for doing this, and I
Thank
hope
you. I love it. And
yeah.
I, music is my passion, and it's because of these filthy Jews that I've not been able to, make my dream come true. So I'm going to find a way to get back at them and use my talent.
Well, I think you're well on your way to stardom.
Thanks. Good. Anti-Semitic stardom. You know
Yes.
what's funny though, John? My mom loves the parodies.
Does she?
Yeah, she's like, "Is there a new Shiksa Goddess parody out?" And she's like chomping at the bit. It's great.
She's like e eagerly awaiting the email
Yeah.
update. Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, I mean it is great stuff. I really enjoy all of them. I mean, even though
Thanks.
some of the content I'm kind of like, I wish you wouldn't have said that, but that's okay.
That's sad.
Yeah,
That's how a
and
lot of people feel. You're not alone.
yeah. Well, and speaking of some of our, you know, sort of disagreements, I want to talk about Donald Trump, and you've been kind of critical of Trump.
Yeah.
So I guess just generally speaking, lay it out for me. What's your beef with Donald Trump?
Well, okay, going back to how I said I was really jaded and skeptical of just politics in general, I think the whole left-right paradigm is a false one. And I don't now what Trump is saying, it sounds pretty good, right? And he has, raised some controversial issues, which I think is great. But again, me coming from my skeptical, jaded standpoint, I'm very, very suspicious of Trump. I don't think that you can get to the top of real estate in New York without playing ball and doing some shady stuff. I also question his allegiance to his people when his daughter is now Jewish and he has Jewish grandchildren and they've married into one of the most prominent political families in New Jersey who are Jewish.
Right.
I suspect when he says he supports Israel 1,000%. And then obviously, you know, you have people saying, oh, well, he basically named Israel and said in this interview that they were funding ISIS. But no, he didn't name them. He said that he has connections, so he can't name them. So he basically just said that he's basically shilling for the Jews, but he can't, you know, he can't tell you because he's got connections, which means he has Jewish money backing him. Mm-hmm. I think he says a lot of good things that make a lot of sense and resonate with people, but I don't think he started the conversation. I think he piggybacked on top of the conversation and is capitalizing off of that. And I think he's being used as a pressure valve to say things that are on people's minds, but then to be more of a neocon than any of the other Republicans. I mean, he wants to kill terrorist families, and I don't understand where that ends. Do you kill their uncle, their aunt, their children, their grandchildren? I mean, where does that stop? He's, you know, he seems like he's behind, you know, more wars in the Middle East. And I, you know, while he's saying these nice things, like he's going to build a wall and kick out the Muslims and everyone's like, yay, I think he's going to slip in some other stuff underneath. And I don't trust the guy, but I don't mm-hmm. vote. So I guess I'm not an issue. You know, I've never voted, so I'm not going to get the way of the voting. But that's just me. I'm just very critical and I don't trust anybody.
Look, and I hear you. I mean, there's not a whole lot that I would really disagree with you there. I mean, the fact that Trump's daughter, and I believe his son even too, if I'm not mistaken, I think his son is married to a Jew. Is that, do you know? Is that
I'm not sure, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that's what happens when these families, you know, they're at the top, they start to marry with each other and form alliances. So it just makes sense.
Yeah, somebody had mentioned that the other day, and I don't know if that's true or not, but his daughter most certainly is married to a Jewish guy who's from Israel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is a problem, and, you know, there's video of Trump, you know, campaigning for Netanyahu and saying how much he loves Israel and saying he'd be the best thing ever for Israel. And yeah, I get it. That is troublesome and you know, just really weak. And, you know, I'm so sick of seeing, you know, these people bow down and worship the Jews for no. I mean, it's like, why? Like, if you really are an American patriot, an American nationalist, why are you bowing down and worshiping Jews and saying that
right, exactly.
be the best thing that's ever happened to Israel? I mean, we shouldn't even be concerned with Israel.
I agree.
Yeah, that those are all problems, and I understand that. I don't even necessarily trust Donald Trump, you know, blindly. I do find him genuine. I mean, I went to a rally. I heard him speak. I, you know, talked to a lot of his followers. I talked to people here locally in San Diego, and there's a lot of people who really buy into this guy, and, you know, he really has won over millions of people.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, people are dying for someone like Trump that just doesn't give a crap, that will just shoot from the hip. Well, people are just dying for that. So, yeah, I mean, everyone's loving it right now, and I get it. It's very entertaining.
I mean, it is. It is entertaining, and what he's saying is so important in my view. I mean, really the only thing that matters right now in America is immigration. And Trump is saying everything that needs to be said about immigration for the most part. I mean, we would probably go a step further, but what he's saying right now is totally feasible. It's totally doable. Yeah. And I mean, I think that if he does get into the White House, he could implement these policies and deport all these illegals, mm-hmm. shut down the border, build a wall on the border, you know, end birthright citizenship, which is an absolute outrage that we even allow this to go on in our country. So, I mean, he's talking about all these issues in addition to, you know, other important issues. He's talking about, you know, the destructive nature of free trade and globalization. He's talking about how political correctness is destroying America. I mean, these are very, very important subjects that he's bringing up. And I think that's important. And my strategy has really been to, you know, kind of push people in the Trump camp more in our direction, if that's even possible.
I think that's a great tactic.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it is possible for, you know, maybe not for everybody, but I think a lot of the people that are hearing what Trump's saying and it's resonating with them and they're supporting him, I think they're just ripe for someone like me or you to come along and set them straight on some of these other important issues.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. And I think that's why people that take your stance are important. I personally can't do it, but you have such a large following that I think you're being strategic here. And I think that's a great idea to, you know, basically capitalize on the ever-growing anti-immigrant sentiment, you know, and say, oh, you agree with Trump? Well, look at some of this information that I have, you know, and
Right.
Like you were saying,
Guess
you know, I.
who's behind all this,
Right.
guys? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Oh, you want to know who put these policies in place? Oh, let me show you. But yes, I agree with you, and I hope that I'm wrong, John. I totally hope that I'm wrong. I just, you know, when's the last time a politician ever kept their promises? That's all I'm saying. And also, you know, if he's for all these wars in the Middle East, yeah, he might build a wall, but then where the hell are all these refugees going to go? They're going to go to Europe. They're going to go probably come back here. It's just, you know, more wars for Israel is not going to solve any of our issues. But I see where you're coming from. I see both sides. And that's why I'm not like spending all my time being anti-Trump, anti-Trump. I made that parody because I wanted to get that out there. And I'll speak my piece, you know, about what I think about him. But, you know, it's all going to take its course regardless of what I do or say. So I'm just going to roll with it and keep speaking the truth and, you know, support people like you.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with Trump. It's going to be
It's
an
going to be interesting,
it
yeah.
is it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be an exciting year, you know, with the election. And you know, he's just dominating the headlines every single day. Trump is out there
Well, he's gotten a lot of, yeah,
saying
media.
yeah. And we see, I just put up an article the other day on the realistreport.com, quoting and citing the Jewish Telegraph Agency, where it's just literally wall to wall Jewish condemnation of Donald Trump. They're all just what this man is saying about immigration is unacceptable. It's un-American. It goes, you know, it's contrary to what this nation was founded upon, which is a total lie. But yeah,
Yeah.
they're really kind of pulling their hair out with Donald Trump, and
Yeah, I can.
especially because what he's, and this is what's so important, regardless of how he feels about Israel and you know his neocon foreign policy positions, which are big problems. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to diminish that by any means.
Right.
But what he's saying about immigration is so critical because that is the only issue that really matters, at least in the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, we have to totally stop immigration. Otherwise, we're going to be in a situation where, I mean, it's going to either get violent or, you know, we're going to really be, you know, in a tough spot, you know, as
Oh,
whites in
it
America.
already is.
It
It's like
already
reached,
is, yeah. It already is, yeah.
yeah, it's reached full capacity. Yeah, I
Yeah.
definitely, I see where you're coming from. My thing is just, I think that the Jewish wars in the Middle East are directly correlated to the flooding of our countries. So I
I
think,
agree. I
yeah, I
totally
think we
agree.
need to like get it from the root instead of just putting band-aids on the symptoms. But yeah, I'm disappointed that he's not talking about the Fed, though. At least Ron Paul was doing that. Not that I support the guy, but I found that interesting that he's not really trying to tackle that, which makes sense because he's made a ton of money. So I don't know,
Right.
but yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. There's two final topics I wanted to kind of wrap up with.
Sure.
And the first one is you've been very critical of Christianity, and I know, you know, Renegade Broadcasting in general is kind of, I don't want to say anti-Christian, but more pro-pagan. And you know, if you could just summarize your critiques of Christianity in a nutshell,
Sure.
and then I can maybe respond. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess my issues that I have with it is that it's a universalist kind of mindset. It's not racial, and so anybody can be a Christian. And I think the ideology is a very weak one where, you know, it's basically turn the other cheek, love thy enemy. And also just looking at some of the stuff in the Bible, it's very psychopathic and schizophrenic. You have like people sacrificing their children because God told them to do it. And you know, God, if there's a voice in my head telling me to kill my son, that's not okay. Like that's mental illness. So I just personally, it's never resonated with me. I don't feel a connection to Christianity at all. I don't think it's healthy for our people, but I'm not going to spend my time trying to convince people not to be Christians. I know a ton of Christians that I love and think they're the best people ever. So whatever works for these people, as long as it's not crippling them, basically, if someone's using Christianity as an excuse to annihilate their race, I will not tolerate that. But
Well,
again, yeah.
and sadly, that is how
That's
organized
happening.
Christianity, you know, mainstream, you know, in a modern
Right.
context. That's what it's all about. It's very, oh, I mean, it's been totally subverted by Jews from the beginning. And I mean, the type of Christian that I am, I don't view Christianity as universalist at all, although, you know, mainstream Christianity certainly is, you know, to where anyone can become a Christian. I think that the Bible really is a racial book, and it's, you know, dealing with one specific group of people and their relationship with God. And I think that's a much more accurate and clear understanding of the Bible, because that's what really was confusing for me was, you know, before I had heard the Christian identity interpretation or perspective of the Bible, The Bible really didn't make sense. You know, especially the people in it. You know, we were told that the people of the Old Testament, the ancient Israelites, are people we know as Jews today, which I don't think is true at all. But I mean, I understand where you're coming from, and I think what's interesting is hearing, you know, your shows and other shows on Renegade. You know, the sort of values that you have are totally compatible with the values that I have as a Christian.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And this is the thing. I don't label myself pagan or Odinist or Astur or any of that because, again, those have been subverted heavily, just like Christianity. So I think people like me that aren't, you know, that don't feel attached to Christianity, I think we need to form something new because all these things have been either infiltrated or – and now I'm not saying we need to give them up, but I think we need to take them back and – you know, reform them to our morals and values.
I all the power to you. I hope you do just that.
Thanks.
We got a lot of work to do with Christians too, so
yep.
But yeah, and I mean I think that's what's important is that really, you know, we might disagree on some of these religious issues, but when it comes down to it, we're pro-white, and really the types of people that we are, the types of values that we think are important really are very compatible and in the same in many cases.
That's it, exactly. And that's why, you know, this whole flat earth thing was so sad to me because, you know, I wish people could just see it as like, if they think I'm retarded and I have these crazy ideas, that's cool, I get it. But if they could just see it as my, you know, religious belief or something and just put it to the side, you know, like I don't agree with CI, I don't agree with some of these orthodox religions and stuff that people are, but I'm never going to attack them because of it, because if you're on the pro-white side, then I don't know, let's just focus on that instead of tearing each other apart because we don't believe in certain things.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that we can talk about these things as adults and not, you know,
right, not get triggered.
Yeah, which is, I mean, exactly what we're doing right now, but
right.
There's no reason to attack each other and you know, get upset about these issues because we're never going to agree on it. I mean, you're not going to get the whole white race to agree on one particular religion.
No, exactly. And that's why it's important that we have people like you that are Christian and pro-white, because you're going to be that beacon of sanity for that group, you know? And if we didn't have you there right now, we'd be screwed. So I think it's important everybody has their little group.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, to wrap up here, you just mentioned the flat earth, and we, you know, it's been brought up in the conversation previously. Tell me the best evidence or some of the best sources, you know, documenting and really proving this flat earth hypothesis, because I just frankly don't know anything about it really.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of just disinfo and BS out there. And I think that I personally think this flat earth thing did not come out organically. I think that this was led, just like every movement is usually led by the opposition. So you really have to be careful when, you know, going through some of this stuff. I'll just tell you some of the disinfo agents that I've discovered. Or just people putting out ridiculous theories, like Mark Sargent. You know, he has a pretty big Flat Earth video out there called Flat Earth Clues, which has a lot of good information in it. But then he'll start bringing up these ridiculous theories like the moon is a hologram and stars are holograms and nothing exists. And it just gets really wacky. So I'd say stay away from that unless you can decipher between the wackiness and the truth. I think the most sober individual that speaks about these things is Eric Dubay. Now, we do disagree on some things as far as Jews being a race, and he has since said that he doesn't want to associate with me because of my views and whatever, but I think that he's done some great work. I would recommend people looking at his 200 proofs, We Are Not Living on a Spinning Ball. And also I would look at John LeBon's YouTube channel. He usually does Ball Earth Skeptic Roundtables where different people talk and debate, and I think it's pretty interesting. Also, Jim Fetzer recently did a debate with a flat earther and totally got annihilated. I thought it was really funny.
Did he really?
Yeah, he doesn't think he got annihilated, but he wasn't able to refute any of the points that the man put forth. He basically just read off like a science textbook and said that was his proof. It was pretty ridiculous. But I forget. It was actually a Jewish man that debated him. His name was David Weiss.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't Jew, but it was an interesting debate. I encourage people to watch that. Also, I did a show with Eric Dubay on my channel. Called Flat Earth Fire Starters. If people want to listen to that, we talk about everything from Jewish control to kosher slaughter to all the crap the Jews are doing, and also NASA fakery and the flat earth. I've been looking into this for probably a year. So people think that I just like stumbled across a flat earth video and said, oh, that's fringe, that's edgy, I'm going to start believing that now. No, it's not. I've been looking into this for a while, and I didn't come public with it until I did that show with Eric and was absolutely crucified for it. So I understand why people don't come out in the open and talk about these things, but many are. Sophia Smallstorm is now talking about flat earth. There are a lot of intelligent researchers that are looking into this, and they don't think the earth is a spinning ball anymore, so I guess we're all stupid. But yeah,
well, and yeah, and I mean, it's an interesting idea. I mean, like I say, I haven't really researched it at all. But I think it's totally, you know, commendable, really, that you are taking this on and you are interested in this topic and you are exposing it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And you know, for people to you know, freak out about this is, again, just sort of childish.
Yeah, it is. And I think a lot of it is trolls, too. I think they're okay with conspiracy theories existing, you know, in, like, compartments when they're not brought together. But when you start to connect, you know, like, Jews, Freemasons, NASA, you know, like, when you connect all the dots together, they really, really don't like that. Especially now that I'm saying Jews are a race. I have so many trolls trying to just, you know, oh, Jews are, they're not a race and they're just a religion and anybody could be a Jew. And no, there's definitely a racial aspect there. So I've noticed that they really don't want me talking about that. But yeah, for me, it's just, I'm using common sense and an Occam's razor, and people are going to think I'm so stupid. But when I walk outside, I do not feel like I'm spinning thousands of miles an hour. The horizon always rises to my eye level. So that tells me I'm on a flat plane. Now people will say, oh, don't fall off the edge, because they're picturing a flat plane floating in space. But I don't think that we are floating in space. I think that we're firmly planted on the ground here, and that everything, the stars are revolving around us, the sun and moon revolves around us. So, you know, I guess our ancestors were just total idiots for using their common sense and seeing that they're not spinning thousands of miles an hour, and that water always remains flat. Water does not curve. And NASA is just basically making this stuff up as they go along. It's just, you know, trillions of dollars are funneled into NASA for them to put on these fake productions using green screens and harnesses and zero-G planes. And it's just so obvious now that I look at it how fake all this stuff is. And one thing real quick before we go, there's a huge connection between Disney and NASA. And one thing that I just realized is, on one of their, admittedly too, they admit that these are CGI composite images of the Earth. I'm not making this up. You can go look for yourself. They say that these are computer composites. One of their little paintings of the Earth that they say is real, if you turn it upside down, the word sex appears in the clouds. And and now this is the same exact font that they use in The Lion King, where they have that the word sex in the sand. I don't know if you know about some of these hidden things in Disney movies.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Also, the planet Pluto, the fake CGI ball planet Pluto that they've produced for us to all ooh and ah over and believe it's real, they have a silhouette of Pluto the dog on the frickin' planet. So they're taking a piss, they're laughing at all of us, they're stealing trillions of our dollars to make fake movies and fake CGI planets, and to think that we actually went to the moon and that we're actually floating around in space up there. It's all a lie, in my opinion, and I don't care if people think I'm crazy, because I'm concerned with the truth. So
right on. Well, I hear you, and you know, I put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised if everything that you just said is completely true. I mean, I don't doubt you, I just don't know.
I do know that opinion where you haven't looked into it yet, so you're like, I don't know, instead of people that have never looked into it and they're calling me retarded.
Right. Yeah, that's just, again, childish. Yeah. You know, I have sort of looked into the moon landing hoax and, you know, NASA fakery, and that I'm pretty, I'm like 99% sure about that. You know, that does seem to be very phony.
I don't even think the moon is something we can land on. To me, it looks transparent because you can actually see stars through the moon. There's many images from the Royal Astronomical Society that are actually videotaping stars passing through the moon. So right. I don't know. I don't think we understand what those things are up there. I also don't think the sun is 93 million miles away. I think they're much closer. I think that we have a deep connection with these things, and that's why they've tried to alienate us from the very world that we're living on.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at all. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to have to do this again and maybe just focus on this topic.
I think that's a great idea. Maybe we could even do it on Firestarter sometime soon.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about this subject, but I'd like to do some research into it and at least get a basic understanding of, sort of the main points that are being made to demonstrate the flat Earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, also just real quick, another YouTube channel I think is great. It's called Balls Out Physics, and it's I believe he's a physicist who is now a flat earther, and there are a lot of professionals that have worked in things like people doing satellite programming and those kind of things, which another thing I've realized is that satellites don't exist. I know people think that's crazy, but GPS and all that can work with high altitude planes or antenna. So I know I've dropped a ton of kooky conspiracy theories here at the end, but hey, question everything and don't believe me.
Yes. Okay. Well, Sinead, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Thank you so – yeah, thanks a lot for coming on today. This was a very interesting and lively conversation, so I really appreciate it, and keep up the good work.
Awesome. You too. Keep up the great work, and thanks for having me on, John.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon.